This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Wa man wala. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna ilma. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with praise and compliments and salutations. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and to allow us to benefit from what He has taught us and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. Continuing in the chapter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dealings with people of nobility, people of status, people of authority, people of clout. كان يثني على صفات الخير التي فيهم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recognize good qualities in these individuals, mention them and praise them for these good qualities. قال جرير لما دنوت من المدينة أنخت راحلتي. Jarir, who is someone we mentioned before, who was someone who was noble in his tribe. ثم لبست حلتي ثم دخلت. He says, when I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's masjid, when I came close, I parked my animal, like you park your cars. They used to park their animals. And then he says, I went into my storage box, or that he carried some of his belongings, wore a new set of clothes, and then he entered the masjid. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَخْطُبُ فَرَمَانِ النَّاسُ بِالْحِدْقِ. He says, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was giving a sermon. He was speaking to the community. And he says, people were looking at me. People were giving me stares, staring at me. Something is not right here. Why is everyone staring at me like this? فَقُلْتُ لِجَلِيسِي يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ ذَكَرَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he said, I said to the one sitting next to me, did the Messenger of Allah say something about me? Why is everybody looking at me? قَالَ نَعَمْ ذَكَرَكَ آنِفًا بِأَحْسَنِ ذِكْرٍ. He said, yes, he mentioned you just a moment ago in the best of ways. وَقَالَ يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ أَوْ مِنْ هَذَا الْفَجْ مِنْ خَيْرِ ذِي يُمْنٍ إِلَّا أَنَا عَلَى وَجْهِي مَسْحَتُ مِنْ. He said that from this door will enter upon you one of the best of people, except that on his face he has a sign of beauty that is attributed to angels. And this individual Jarir was known and described sayyidan muta'an malihan tiwalan badi' al jamal. He was known to be someone who was tall, he had a very distinct appearance, and who had a level of attraction. And so the Prophet ﷺ recognized this and praised him and said, he is coming in, someone, one of the best of people that will enter upon you. قال ابن إسحاق وقدم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفد طيء وفيهم زيد الخيل وهو سيدهم فلما انتهوا إلى إليه كلمهم وعرض عليهم الإسلام فأسلموا وحسن إسلامهم وقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ذكر لي رجل من العرب بفضل ثم جاءني إلا رأيته دون ما يقال فيه إلا زيد الخيل فإنه لم يبلغ كل ما فيه فإنه لم يبلغ كل ما فيه ثم سماه زيد الخير وقطع له فيداً وأرضين معه وكتب له بذلك. Ibn Ishaq, the famous historian, says that a convoy came from Tayt, from this tribe. And amongst them was this man named Zaydul Khayl. Zaydul Khayl, with a lamb. That was his name. Why? Because, you know, he was not Sayyid the way we know in the subcontinent, meaning from the family of the Prophet. What we mean is a chieftain of his people. An honorable man from his tribe. And he was also someone of wealth, and he had, you know, a lot of cavalry. So the Prophet ﷺ said something amazing about him. The Prophet gave them da'wah and they became Muslim. And they enhanced and excelled in their learning and their practice of Islam. حَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُمْ. They became good Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no man has been mentioned to me and praised to me, and then I end up meeting him, except that he is less than what they were praising. Samajh aage? Make sense? Doesn't make sense. Says, somebody comes to the Prophet ﷺ and praises him. So then the Prophet meets that man. And then he's like, yeah, it's a decent guy, but you exaggerated in your praise of this person. Illa, except Zaydul Khayl. Except this man, Zaydul Khayl. He said, whatever they said about him was true, and actually they didn't even mention enough. So then the Prophet suggested that his name be adjusted from Zaydul Khayl to Zaydul Khayr with Ra. You ever heard someone by this name? Zaydul Khayr? No? You've heard someone by the name of Zayd? Yes? Allah. Allah khair. I guess we'll start calling you that then. Zaydul Khayr, which means of goodness, so much goodness. Actually, one of my friends, he named his son Zaydul Khayr. So one time I was like, oh, mashallah, Zayd. He said, no, Zaydul Khayr. Say the whole thing. There are a lot of people named Zayd, but this one is Zaydul Khayr. I thought that was beautiful. So this was a sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ gave him a gift and distributed some wealth and property to him. Subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ, as he was leaving this companion, you know, when the Sahaba first migrated with Rasulullah ﷺ to Medina, many of them became very ill. Many of them became very sick, because there was a big difference for them in the climate and in the conditions of the city of Medina. So in Mecca, there is more humidity. When you go to Medina, it's dry, depending on the time of year, of course. There is some humidity as well. But Medina at that time had a lot of palm trees and a lot of wells, and it was more swampy. There were different insects there. There were different. So the weather pattern, the situation was different. And of course, as you know, like we learned from modern medicine, that there are certain different viruses, bacteria, etc., and people develop immunity. So sometimes a person goes there and they get sick, but the people there are not sick. So this was the case. The Muhajirun, when they came with the Prophet ﷺ, many of them became very sick. Actually, it was very intense, and they had a very difficult fever. So when this companion, Zaydul Khayr, after he was leaving Medina, the Prophet ﷺ said about him, "In yanju Zaydun min humma al-Madina." The Prophet said, perhaps Zayd may or may not be spared from the fever and the illness that is spreading in Medina. فلما انتهى إلى ماء من مياه نجد يقال له فردة أصابته الحمى بها فمات. So when he reached just the outskirts of that region of Hijaz, which is where Mecca and Medina is, and then he went to the central Arabian Peninsula, which is where the region of Najd is, He reached a body of water right at the entrance of that province, and his sickness intensified there. And actually, that is where he ended up dying. He passed away. رضي الله عنه وأرضى عنه. May Allah be pleased with him. الأشج بن عبد القيس was another individual who came in a convoy from his قبيلة, عبد القيس. And he was their leader and their ruler and the one leading them. When they came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهِ الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَا. He said to him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, you have two qualities, two characteristics that Allah loves. الْحِلْم وَالْأَنَا. Now who's going to help us translate those? قال الإمام النووي رحمه الله أما الحلم فهو العقل وأما الأنا فهي التثبت وترك العجلة. الحلم is sometimes translated as forbearance. Imam al-Nawawi says it is عقل, it is a soundness of mind, a soundness of intelligence. Basically, حلم is the ability to make sound decisions when they are needed at the appropriate time. And it's closely related to the next trait, which is al-ana, which is to be composed. And it's the opposite of being hasty. So the Arabs have a proverb, they say, في العجالة ندامة وفي التأني سلامة. They say, in haste, there is regret. And in patience, or actually they use التأني, الأنا. And in, you know, being composed and taking your time is safety and security. Right? You rush into something, you're likely to stumble. So al-ana is to not be hasty and to take your time to make decisions. At-tathabbut, to verify and reach a decision carefully and in a composed and calculated manner. So the Prophet noticed these two characteristics and he praised him for it, and he mentioned that Allah loves these characteristics. So if we want to have characteristics that Allah loves, let us try and embody these characteristics. وسبب قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك له ما جاء أن الوفد لما وصلوا إلى المدينة بادروا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقام الأشج عند رحالهم فجمعها وعقل ناقته ولبس أحسن ثيابه ثم أقبل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقربه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأجلسه إلى جانبه وقال له إن فيك خصلتين يحبهم الله الحلم والأنا. Imam Nawawi, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he says, when this tribe, Abdul Qais, came to Medina, all of the people that came in this convoy, in this delegation, they hastened and rushed to go meet the Prophet ﷺ. As soon as they arrived, landed in Medina, they jumped off of their animals, they went straight into the masjid looking for the Prophet ﷺ. But this man, Al-Ashaj, Abdul Qais, he stayed behind. He gathered all of the animals. He tied the animals down so that they don't run away. And then he changed his clothes. And he wore the best clothes that he has. And then he came and met the Prophet ﷺ. He prepared himself for that. Because when you come from a journey, you're a little bit stinky. You know, that's just, even now with all of our technology, and you have a nice plane and the air conditioning on, when you travel, you know, when you arrive, you're not in your best possible state. Unless you're in some kind of like first class cabin where they take a shower or something. I don't know. I've never seen those things. You travel in those, Mahdi? MashaAllah. First class everywhere, huh? Actually, that's true. We were both masakin. Economy. Alhamdulillah. Wallahi ish masakin. Fi ni'ma. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we fly first class together. you can pay for it. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he entered in, the Prophet ﷺ brought him close. And he told him, you have these two qualities and these characteristics that Allah loves, al-hilmu wal-ana. وَرُبَّمَا دَخَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي جِوَارِ بَعْضِهِمْ وَحِمَايَتِهِ. Also, the Prophet ﷺ would sometimes protect an individual who was of status. You know, in those days, in their society and in their culture, you could take someone under your protection. And if you did that, خلاص, no one's going to touch him. He has basically your stamp of protection. I'm sponsoring this person. You got a problem with this person, you come deal with me. They're my guest. فإن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لما انصرف عن أهل الطائف لم يجيبوا إلى ما دعاهم إليه من تصديقه ونصرته صار إلى حراء ثم بعث إلى الأخنس بن شريق ليجيره فقال أنا حليف والحليف لا يجير فبعث إلى سهيل بن عمرو وقال إن بني عامر لا تجير على بني كعب فبعث إلى المطعم بن عدي فأجابه إلى ذلك فذهب إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فبات عنده تلك الليلة فلما أصبح خرج معه هو وبنوه ستة أو سبعة متقلدي السيوف جميعا فدخلوا المسجد وقال لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طف واحتبوا بحمائل سيوفهم في المطاف فأقبل أبو سفيان إلى مطعم فقال أمجير أو تابع قال لا بل مجير قال إذن لا تغفر فجلس معه حتى قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طوافه فلما انصرف انصرفوا معه وذهب أبو سفيان إلى مجلسه قال فمكث أياما ثم أذن له في الهجرة فلما هاجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المدينة توفي المطعم بن عدي بعده بيسير فقال حسان بن ثابت والله لأرثينه ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم بدر على الأسارة لو كان المطعم بن عدي حيا ثم كلمني في هؤلاء لتركتهم له. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself would sometimes go under the protection of someone and appeal to their authority and their status and ask them to basically sponsor him and put them under his protection. When did this happen? This happened, as we hear from this narration, which is recorded in the book of Bukhari, after the Prophet ﷺ returned from Ta'if. We know that the Prophet ﷺ, after he faced the harm from the people of Mecca, he began contacting different communities around Mecca to sponsor him. Amongst them was a Ta'if. So the Prophet ﷺ went there, and they did not welcome him, they did not accept his da'wah, they did not allow for him to reside amongst them, they didn't offer their protection. Rather, they rejected, disbelieved, and they sent the lowliest of their people, Sufaha al-Qawm, to basically insult him and mock him and physically throw him out of their town, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when the Prophet ﷺ left, that was a very, very difficult time. Where is he going to go now? Where is he going to go? What options are available? Is he going to go back to Mecca? They're plotting to kill him. They put a boycott on him and his companions. Where is he going to go? His uncle has passed away, the one who was taking care of him by this time. Where is he going to go? So he appealed to certain individuals of status and authority to take him, alayhi salatu wasalam, bi abi huwa wa ummi alayhi salatu wasalam, under their sponsorship basically. So he appealed to someone by the name of Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, who by the way, this guy, by the way, previously had admitted that what the Prophet ﷺ came with must be revelation and is not magic or is not poetry. He admitted it with Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham. They recognized that this is not, actually the story is long, but it's really beautiful. They were spying on the Prophet ﷺ because of how amazed they were to hear the Qur'an, and they didn't want to see each other. So when one caught the other, he said, what are you doing here? He said, what are you doing here? And then they realized, we came here to hear Qur'an, but we don't want anyone to see us, because publicly they're putting on this image of the Qur'an is poetry, it's magic, sihr, the Prophet is crazy, blah blah blah, all of that empty, baseless talk. So then they stumble upon each other. So that's very embarrassing. So they admitted to each other that this is not sihr, this is not poetry. So Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraiq told Abu Jahl, what's the point? What's the problem? Are you going to accept it then? He said, no. We will never accept this prophet or messenger to be from that family of Banu Hashim. If he was from my family, I would have accepted him. They were a tribal society. So what kept these people from Islam? Was it the recognition of truth? No. It was their kibr, their arrogance and their tribalism. Anyways, so the Prophet appealed to this guy, Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, will you take me under your sponsorship? He said, no, I will not. He said, I am a person who has a treaty, and someone who has a treaty cannot take anyone else under their, basically, protection. This is some rules, tribal rules that they had. Next, Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr was someone of eloquence in the community of Quraysh in Mecca. He was kind of like a lobbyist. You know how they say someone lobbies? Because they're very convincing in their arguments. Suhail ibn Amr was the lobbyist of Quraysh. If they needed someone to stand up and give a persuasive lecture, he does it. Khatib. He goes and convinces and talks to people. So he's a person of clout. He said, will you take me under your sponsorship? He said, no. Why? He said, well, I am from Bani Amir, and Bani Amir does not take anyone in their protection who is in animosity with Banu Ka'b. And you're in animosity with Banu Ka'b, so sorry, you don't qualify for my, basically, sponsorship. Ya'ani, they just want to get rid of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they ended up being the losers. Imagine the status they would have had in this dunya and akhirah had they protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Which is eventually what happened to the people of Medina. So the Prophet then sent a message to Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. And so he responded. He said, yes, I got you. You will be under my protection. So the Prophet ﷺ went to him and he slept there. He spent the night in his residence. And the next day he woke up and he gathered all of his sons. They were 6 or 7, according to the narration. And they stood around the Prophet ﷺ with their swords drawn. And they escorted him back to Mecca. And he told the Prophet ﷺ, go make tawaf. When the Prophet entered into Mecca. So the Prophet made tawaf. As he's making tawaf, he has Mut'im ibn Adi and his sons all around the Prophet ﷺ with their swords drawn. Meaning, you come close, you're going to have a fight. So Abu Sufyan sees this and he comes to Mut'im ibn Adi. He says, are you a protector or a follower? What's going on here? He said, no, I'm a protector. I am here protecting the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ stayed with him. He stayed with the Prophet ﷺ until the Prophet finished his tawaf. And then they left, and Abu Sufyan left. And the Prophet ﷺ remained in that state, unsure of what's going to happen next, for a few days. A few days later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him revelation and gave him permission to go for hijrah. So shortly thereafter, after the hijrah, Al-Mut'im ibn Adi passed away. And Hassan ibn Thabit wrote several lines of poetry praising him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a couple of years later, after the Battle of Badr, when there were some prisoners of war that were taken in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something amazing, quoted in the book of Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as he looked at those prisoners, if Al-Mut'im ibn Adi was alive, and he spoke to me regarding the affairs of these prisoners, meaning he would ask me, like as a favor, can you release them, please, for me? Said, I would have fulfilled that request for him. Because of the kindness that Al-Mut'im ibn Adi showed the Prophet ﷺ, and how the Prophet ﷺ is basically saying, I owed him one. He took care of me at a time of difficulty. So he has praise, that credit that he is deserving. They say give credit where credit is due. He has that praise that he is deserving. وَإِذَا دَعَاهُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى طَعَامٍ أَجَابَ دَعْوَتَهُ. And if any of them invited the Prophet for a meal, the Prophet would respond and go and have that meal with them. And Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء إلى سعد بن عبادة فجاء بخبز وزيت فأكل ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفطر عندكم الصائمون وأكل طعامكم الأبرار وصلت عليكم الملائكة رواه أبو داود وصححه الألباني. أفطر عندكم الصائمون خبر بمعنى الدعاء بالخير والبركة لأن أفعال الصائمين تدل على اتساع الحال وكثرة الخير إذ من عجز عن نفسه فهو عن غيره أعجز وأكل طعامكم الأبرار صائمين ومفطرين فمفاد هذه الجملة أعم مما قبلها وصلت عليكم الملائكة أي استغفرت لكم وفيه أنه يندب لمن أفطر عنده صائم أن يدعو له بذلك بناء على أن الجملة دعائية وهو أقرب من جعلها خبرية. This is what the scholar Al-Manawi said in Faidul Qadir. طيب, this is a very interesting story. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, says that Sa'd ibn Ubadah invited the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sa'd ibn Ubadah was, we've mentioned him before. You guys remember who Sa'd ibn Ubadah is? أتذكرون? لا تذكرون? You guys remember who he is? We said Sa'd ibn Ubadah was chief of the Ansar. We said he is the one that had the treaty with the different Jewish tribes in Medina. We said he is the one that said to the Prophet ﷺ before the Battle of Badr, we will defend you even though we are offensive. Even though the treaty that the Prophet had with the Ansar was to defend the Prophet ﷺ, not to go with him on any offensive missions. He said, we will not say to you what Bani Israel said to Musa, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنها هنا قاعدون. He said, we will not say to you what Bani Israel said to Musa, you and your Lord go fight, we're sitting back here. We are with you. He is the one that Banu Qurayza, the Jewish tribe, chose as a judge between them and the Prophet ﷺ after the Battle of Al-Ahzab. He is the one who was injured in the Battle of Al-Ahzab, and he is the one who died because of those injuries. He was the sixth one to die, and he died after the battle. The five died during the battle before him. And he is the one out of them who was buried in Al-Baqi', and he is the one who the Prophet ﷺ said, اهتز عرش الرحمن, the throne of Allah the Most Merciful shook at the death of Sa'd ibn Ubadah, and he is the one that the Prophet ﷺ said 70,000 angels followed his janazah. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Sadaqt. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, نعم, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, أحسنت. Jazakallahu khairan. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh from Al-Khazraj. أليس كذلك? Sa'd ibn Ubadah is the one we mentioned before in the hadith of قوموا إلى سيدكم. Was that Sa'd ibn Ubadah or Sa'd ibn Mu'adh? أحسنت أحسن الله إليك. May Allah be pleased with you. We mentioned this narration. طيب, we'll look it up at the end. Remind me in the end. صدقت. What we just mentioned is Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. صدقت. جزاك الله خيرا. طيب, so this is Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Sa'd ibn Ubadah. So when he invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَجَاءَ بِخُبْزٍ وَزَيْتٍ. So he brought forward bread and oil. Bread and oil. Which sounds really simple, but it can be really tasty. Subhanallah. Especially if you put some za'atar on it. Huh? You put salt? On what? In the oil? So I take olive oil, I put salt in it, and then dip the bread into that. I've never tried that. But I guess that's similar to za'atar, because za'atar is kind of salty a little bit, right? Is za'atar oregano or thyme? How did we end up in food? You guys hungry like me? We just ended up in food, yani. طيب, خير. Let's go back to the hadith. فأكل. So the Prophet ate. ثم قام. ثم قال. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, أفطر عندكم الصائمون. So here in the translation, we're going to have two possibilities. I'll mention the one that the scholar Faidul Qadir, the author of Faidul Qadir, mentioned. may the ones who are fasting break their fast with your food. وَأَكَلَ طَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ And may the righteous eat your food. وَصَلَّتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ And may the angels make dua for your forgiveness. In another narration, وَذَكَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ Here we mentioned these three things. طيب. What's interesting here is the ulama have two ways of understanding these statements. They said, are these statements dua, meaning a request for this to take place? Or are these statements informative, declarative of what has taken place? Do you see the difference between the two? أفطر عندكم الصائمون أكل طعامكم الأبرار صلت عليكم الملائكة Is the Prophet making dua, requesting for this to take place? Or is the Prophet making statements informing of what has happened? Huh? So this is interesting in Arabic, with the Arabic rhetoric, because you can make a request without necessarily saying, like how we say in English, may such and such happen. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, أَفْطَرَ عِنْدَكُمُ الصَّائِمُونَ The fasting people eat your food. If you want to literally translate it, حَرْفًا بِحَرْف. Huh? Fasting people ate your food. أَكَلَ طَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ The righteous ate your food. صَلَّتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ The angels prayed for your forgiveness. Right? So is the Prophet informing khabar? Or is the Prophet making dua saying, may this happen? قَوْلَيْنْ عِنْدَ الْعُلَمَاءِ Two opinions amongst the scholars. What's interesting is, both of them are interesting. If it's a dua, that means that this is the dua that we should make when someone invites us for a meal. And if you look at each of the three phrases, there is blessing, there is a lot of blessing in that. Because if the fasting people are breaking their fast by eating your food, there's a lot of barakah and a lot of goodness. The reward for feeding someone who is fasting is great. وَأَكَلَ طَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ And the righteous eat your food. This is more broad and comprehensive than the first one. Righteous includes those that are fasting, but even more than that. To have righteous people eat your food, that's something praiseworthy, meaning you're feeding a righteous person. And to have the angels making dua for you is pretty awesome. صح ولا لا؟ يعني, we would want the angels to make dua for istighfar. So both ways you look at it, it's interesting. So some of the ulama said this is the Prophet informing of what happened, meaning if you feed people, this is the reward that you will have. As if you have fed fasting, as if the righteous are eating your food, and that the angels are making istighfar for you. And if it's a dua for talab, a dua requesting, then we should make that dua when someone invites us for food. So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ from another hadith, when someone, and we covered this in one of the early chapters, when we talked about the Prophet's adab when he was a guest. When someone invites you for food, you say, أَطْعَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَطْعَمَنَا وَسَقَ اللَّهُ مَنْ سَقَانَا May Allah feed those who have fed us. And may Allah give drink to those who have given us something to drink. And then if you wish, according to the opinion of those ulama that say this is a dua, you can add these phrases as well. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَزُورُهُمْ وَيَأْكُلُوا عِنْدَهُمْ And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would visit them and eat there in their homes. عن قيس بن سعد رضي الله عنهما قال زارنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في منزلنا فقال السلام عليكم ورحمة الله فرد سعد ردا خفيا أي بحيث لا يسمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قيس فقلت ألا تأذن ألا تأذن لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ فقال ذره يكثر علينا من السلام. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. فرد سعد ردا خفيا، ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، فرجع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم واتبعه سعد، فقال يا رسول الله قد كنت أسمع تسليمك وأرد عليك ردا خفيا لتكثر علينا من السلام. فانصرف معه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأمر له سعد بغسل فوضع فاغتسل، ثم ناوله ملحفة مصبوغة بزعفران وورس فاشتمل بها، ثم رفع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يديه وهو يقول اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك على آل سعد بن عبادة. ثم أصاب من الطعام، فلما أراد الانصراف قرب إليه سعد حمارا قد وطأ عليه بقطيفة، فركب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال سعد يا قيس اصحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال قيس، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اركب، فأبيت، ثم قال إما أن تركب وإما أن تنصرف، قال فانصرفت. This hadith is recorded in the book of Ahmad. Qais ibn Sa'd, who is the son of Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit us. He came to visit us in our house. So when he came to the house, he said Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So Sa'dun, his father, he responded to the salam in a very whispering tone. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So he responded, but the Prophet couldn't hear that. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So Sa'd said, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So Qais, who is his son, he looks at his father, he says, aren't you going to let him come in? Aren't you going to let the Prophet ﷺ come inside the house? He said, you stay quiet, you. He said to him, ذَرْهُ يَكْثُرُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ السَّلَامِ. He said, let the Prophet keep saying salam to us. Why? Huh? Blessings? Close, but I want something more detailed. What did you say? Huh? Dua? What dua? Salam is dua? What does assalamu alaykum mean? Peace be upon you? Who said? You said that? Who said it? As-salam, peace be upon you, right? Who has heard this translation? As-salamu alaykum, peace be upon you. I greet you with the greeting of as-salamu alaykum, peace be upon you. Who has heard this before? I am sorry to tell you that is not accurate. As-salamu alaykum does not mean peace be upon you. It's a problem. What does assalamu alaikum mean? هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. You guys know these verses? Al-Malik al-Quddus As-Salam. So As-Salam is one of the names of Allah. Is peace one of the names of Allah? The source of peace? What does As-Salam mean? If you look in the books of Tafsir, in the end of Surah Al-Hashr, الملك القدوس السلام, they're going to tell you الملك بمعنى كذا, القدوس means this, السلام means this. Find me one book of tafsir that's going to say السلام here, the name of Allah, means the source of peace. You won't find it. السلام, the name of Allah, means السالم من العيوب, وَالْخَطَأَ. Allah is the one who is سَالِمٌ, free of any imperfection or mistake. Peace comes from a different root word. That, we'll get to that later. خلينا على مع السلام first. Al-Quddus is a really nice one. So when you say Assalamu alaikum, you are saying, may the one who is free from any imperfection or mistake grant you safety and security. And if you have that, then you will have peace all the way at the end. So some people cut out all of that important meaning and they just said, peace be upon you. It doesn't mean peace. That's like when people say Islam means peace. You ever heard that? Islam means peace? Islam does not mean peace. And this means victory. It doesn't mean peace. Islam means to submit. Peace comes from a different root word in Arabic, which sounds close to salam, but is not salam. That's silm. That's something else. Silm is not the same as salam. So when you are, what are we getting to? What's the point here? When you say to someone, Assalamu alaikum, what are you saying to them? You are making dua for them. Did we ever stop to think that? When you greet someone, Assalamu alaikum. You see how it totally changes things? Peace be upon you. What does that mean, peace be upon you? Like, is peace like this like cloud or this lightning that's going to come down from the sky and just be upon you? What does that mean? It's meaningless. It's just like flowy and it sounds like a nice flower. May the one who is free from any imperfection grant you safety and security. And what is the implication of that? Can you make this dua for someone and then harm them? Does it make sense? You come to someone and you say, may Allah, who is free from any imperfection, protect you from any harm and evil. Now here you go, take some harm from me. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. So the implication of making this dua is that you will not harm that person. So when I say to you, Assalamu alaikum, whether there's a handshake or not, when I say Assalamu alaikum, I am making dua for you, and I am promising to you that you will not see any harm from me. So if you are not going to ensure that, then don't say Assalamu alaikum. Because you're making a commitment. You cannot say to someone Assalamu alaikum and then go turn around and backbite them. So if you're going to say Assalamu alaikum to someone, don't ever backbite them. If you're planning to backbite them, then don't say salam. I don't know, say like something else, you can figure it out. But then, you know, you shouldn't be planning to backbite anyone. If you're going to have hasad, if you're going to envy someone and wish that something good they have is removed from them because you want it, but then you don't even want them to have it, don't say Assalamu alaikum, because that's a lie then. You know, we don't want to lie. So Assalamu alaikum is a dua. So imagine if the Prophet ﷺ is making dua for you. You see how the Sahaba understood these like phrases that have lost their meanings to us. Why? Because of a very innocent yet wrong mistranslation. Someone who was very innocent, you know, 40 years ago, said Assalamu alaikum is peace be upon you. And we've just been repeating it like, you know, without delving it. So imagine all of the other things that we need to learn. May Allah increase us in beneficial knowledge. So let me get to your question, good sir. Let's just finish this narration because I see some heads nodding. They want to go to sleep. So I'll let you guys go. I'm sorry for holding you. But where were we? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said salam 3 times. Sa'd responded to the salam in a whisper. Then he went and found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he brought him to his house, And he gave him a bowl to wash. وَاغْتَسَلَ Then he washed and then he gave him some food. First he gave him a piece of clothing to cover his clothes so that no food would get on the clothing. And the clothes had been doused with some saffron and other good smelling things. And he's really honoring his guest, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate, and then afterwards he got him an animal, he put a cushion so he can ride. So he honored the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as his guest, as his host. The moral of this narration is that the Prophet would visit these types of people and eat from their food, meaning he would maintain that connection that some people say, no, I'm not going to go eat at such and such person. They can come and eat at my place, but I'm not going to go eat there. Why? Because, you know, I don't know. Something. Something that just feels like this. I can't put it into words. The Prophet ﷺ, if anyone was deserving to, you know, then it would be the Prophet ﷺ. But he didn't. He was humble. He accepted guests, and he also went as a guest. So nobody is better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us beautiful with the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, good sir. No, go ahead. If we can't answer it, at least we can hear it.
Well, if you just put the whole concept of saying assalamu alaikum in his head. Now, if somebody says assalamu alaikum to you, and you don't want to say wa alaikum assalam, what is the other person supposed to infer from that?
That you're not very nice.
Yeah.
So, no, now you've entered into another realm. Now you've entered into the rights of other people. If someone says assalamu alaikum, it is now their right that you respond to their salam. Not responding to someone's salam is harmful. So if someone says assalam, then you respond to their salam.
Even if you don't mean it.
Well, mean it. Mean it. Then we fight the evil within us. Good, so you can know that, and you can be the you can attempt to be the presence in their life to stop them from the harm that they are engaging in, but that does not mean that you have to harm them. So if someone is willfully not saying salam, that means they have some kind of intention or plan to harm that person, which is problematic. Or they may have some ill feeling towards the person. Perhaps as-salam, understanding what it means, is the medicine that we need to put out that poison within us of ill feeling towards someone. Man, I hate this guy so much, I don't even want to say salam to him. But now that I understand what salam is, I'm going to take the higher route. I'm going to force myself, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Khalas, I said it. I can't harm them now. Because I want Allah to protect me. I want Allah who is free from any imperfection. I have all of these imperfections. But maybe if this is the effort that I need to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, it's a price worth paying. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Any other questions or comments? Al-Quddus. I think it's going to take some time. Next time, inshallah ta'ala. Or whenever we have a gathering where we can discuss the names of Allah. I think that would be very nice. Khair, inshallah. You give us permission? Okay. Sakallah. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, will be the last week of this topic or of this gathering that I have the pleasure to be with you for a period of time. Allah knows exactly how long that period will be, but for at least the first half of 2018. Be taking a little bit of a hiatus from this program. No, just this. I need to pause the class for some time to focus on some other projects. But we will be starting a new series the first Friday of every month. This past year, which we are almost finishing, 2017, we started with how to attain the love of Allah, a short text from Ibn al-Qayyim, and we completed it, alhamdulillah, last Friday. Al-Asbab al-Ashra, al-Mujiba li mahabbatillah. So hopefully we will start a new topic in 2018. We will have 11 sessions, because not including Ramadan. The first Friday of every month, it's already been marked and set down. Inshallah ta'ala. So if you would like to join us for that, you are most welcome. And the topic is still to be determined. There are a few options. So if you have any suggestions, they are most welcome, inshallah ta'ala. But stay tuned, inshallah, for any other announcements or when this or other classes will resume, inshallah. In any case, we'll be here next week. Inshallah, next week will be the last session for a period of time. For a period. إلى أن يشاء الله. وجزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم.